impulses are being redirected. We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep.
Hollow like my brain. Feel that acceleration. It's
precognitive
dissonance.
Featuring the Mormon Tabernacle clones.
You don't say.
Enquire. It takes over 30 Yannis to produce our opening sequence. Yes, that's right. We popped them out of tubes like so many hot cross buns, friends, just to bring you the musical perfection that is the Precognitive Dissonance opening theme.
That's right. And if you act now...
Ahuga!
Call this number. Thank you for joining us, everybody. This is Precognitive Dissonance. I'm Smiles Lewis.
I'm Craig York, and we're both very sorry to be tuning in late this evening. We're about 10 minutes behind our usual mark. So if you thought that something awful had been happening to us, well, actually, it's something wonderful. Miles was showing me some of the stills from some of our guests for tonight, Ken Gerhard's band, the Bozo Porno Circus. Ooh. And I can just say, ahooga.
The caption, hot, exclamation point times six.
It's a couple of girls in leather bondage outfits, one of whom appears to be wearing, well, actually, they both appear to be wearing domino masks. And one is holding a grinder, which is spewing sparks up the torso and past the face of...
Off the crotch.
Yeah, I mean, she's, like, wearing some kind of large metal piece.
Cod piece? Is it for a woman? Is it called... Can you call it a cod piece?
I don't think so. There's not a MacGuffin.
What a duck piece.
Merkin. That's the name for a wig for the vagina. Anyways,
well, that's something I didn't know.
Well, I think it's something like that. There's an excellent article on Merkins at thestraightdope.com, which if you don't read it, and I can't believe that any of our listeners would be unfamiliar with it. It's just not possible.
What are you talking about, Craig?
The Straight Dope?
Oh, yes.
Oh, that, come on.
Yeah, yeah. The alternative or the accoutrement to... weird news, or news of the weird, rather.
News of the weird in depth, which is always kind of nice, and usually with a bibliography, which is even nicer. But anyway, as I said, our guest for tonight is supposed to be Ken Gerhard, and I don't know if there's a communication snafu, but we have tried to get a hold of him three times now and left messages. So
very kind, endearing ones, of course.
And
well, Ken, what the hell kind of guy are you?
I
hope everything's
well,
okay.
Well, he's a cryptozoologist, industrial sadomaso rocker, theatrical type dude. We just mentioned a band he had a few years ago called the Bozo Porno Circus, which I believe he's in the process of reviving. Miles, who is much more in touch with the pulse of today's youth.
As unfortunately, I fast approach 40.
Well, I'll be 50 in October. Yes, that's right. I'm one of those old-timers who's... imminent death will cleanse the UFO palate and allow you to drink the sweet, sweet wine of youth and enthusiasm.
As declared by the 60-plus-year-old curmudgeon.
Well, no, actually, it was one of his younger colleagues, I believe, at the UFO provocateur. As an ancient provocateur, as in... government misinformation program. But maybe not. And, well, j- just talk a little bit about Ken. I just finished reading his recent book, Big Bird, Modern Sightings of Flying Monsters. Has a very nice cover of what some witnesses describe as a pterodactyl or Rama...
Rama-lama-ding-dong.
No. Well, there were two types of winged reptiles that thrived during the age of the dinosaurs. And modern birds start appearing right towards the 65 million year mark, when most of the dinosaurs went extinct for reasons which may have had a lot to do with a big honking rock smacking the Yucatan. Yes, Cozumel was popular even millions of years ago. But anyway, the title is not deliberately ironic. Big Bird is what a lot of South Texas news agencies and reporters called a series of large reptilian flying things that were seen in the Rio Grande Valley in the mid-70s. It was something akin to the Mothman flap, although... thankfully, without a bridge collapse, as far as I know, and not a whole lot in the way of MIB activity. But it was one of those things that a lot of people saw this creature over the span of, I think, 2 or 3 months, and then the reports stopped coming in. There have been... Ken also documents a couple of other sightings in and around the state. He talks a little bit about the ropin, which is a large pterodactyl-like creature of Central Africa. The ropin is Papua New Guinea. The kangamoto, or kangamanto, is Central Africa.
There was some videos making the rounds in the last 6 months that I know CryptoMundo.com and other crypto sites were dealing with, in so much as they were being offered as, you know, videos of ropin and other strange unidentified aerial flappers, and it was just a classic example of in some cases the raw footage being shown and just being misidentified as you know, these are regular seabirds from the area, I think, that are being misidentified, in some cases maybe not from the area, but at least one of those videos was doctored up to make it look like an old scratchy black and white film, but it was done in such a way that it was just like it was immediately obvious, oh, that's that Photoshop effect that, you know.
I was thinking about something that was actually a bit older, but it's a still of a pteranodon over a river, ostensibly in Africa, and that's since been demonstrated to have been a Photoshop construction, as is the Civil War pteranodon photograph.
It was for the weird, or not weird, Freaky Links? Was that the show that it was for? Or
does might it predate have been, that? Might have been. It's one of those, once these things
I think they recreated that photograph.
Yeah.
I think... there was the original hoax photograph, and then there's a recreation. I bet I'm probably sending out my own misinformation. But what's the name of that creature? It's not the reptilian large avian birdie thingies. But that famous black and white photo of a man standing in a museum next to the silhouette.
That is
freaking awesome. Every time I think of that, I just...
that's my all-time... favorite flying creature, although it's interesting. As far as I know, there's not much in the way of artistic representations of it. The photo you're referencing first appeared, I think, in the early 80s, shortly after these fossils were found in Argentina, hence the name Argentavis magnificens, the magnificent bird of Argentina. But it's also known as the Great Terror Tern. It had a wingspan of something like 25 feet and a weight of about 150 pounds. Standing upright, it would have been about 6 feet tall. So, and it's akin to the condors, I believe.
But that wingspan, man. That...
Yeah. I mean, it's the size of a Cessna, basically, although a lot shorter. And these things have only been extinct for Oh, I'm going to say not more than 100,000 years, although I could be way off the mark on that. I think the Argentina fossils are from about 6 million years ago, which, you know, is a ways back, but, you know, in terms of life forms, not all that far distant. And that's something that Ken touches a little bit on in the book, but his main thrust is about the possibility of flying reptiles surviving from the age of the dinosaurs.
Mm. What a romantic notion.
Well, it's one of those, he is honest about the problems with the notion. There is nothing in the fossil record that indicates that any of the pterosaurs survived the extinction event, what's called the KT extinction. Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Shedding a little crocodile tear.
Miles, the trilobites have been gone for 250 million years from the dinosaurs to owls.
They're so cool.
Well,
they're great fossils. I mean, I bet they make even better actual living things.
You can't, and I'm sure they felt so too, in their tiny, you know, 17 neuron bulge of nerve tissue that constituted their brain. But you know, I mean, let's face it, we're not talking about speed readers and typists,
or even journalists.
I'm not going to go there. Aren't we journalists, Miles? I've been kind of wondering.
We're more akin to bloggers, and as journalists have made patently clear, bloggers are not journalists.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize there was that kind of reaction out there in the press community.
It's split pretty definitively between, well, people who grew up in the medium to... I don't know. I mean, I think the general agreed consensus is that bloggers aren't as likely to fact check as newspapers and magazines and print publishers used to be known for and good at and reliable for, even though they've obviously done a crapshod job of being anything close to investigative over the last couple of Bush administrations. But anyway, and all the previous administrations, folks. But anyway, that's a whole other subject.
And how. Anyway, there were a couple of things on the web this week of a cryptozoological note that...
all kinds of stuff.
One thing I wanted to ask Ken about was something that was on Cryptomundo close to a week ago now. It's a report from 2000 about a large winged creature, kind of a cross between something reptilian and something like a giant bat, reported from Peru. One witness at the original sighting, supposedly there were about up to half a dozen other witnesses, a group of young men, as it's described, who saw this thing and just basically took off running. The updated report that I saw had it that at least two of this group of young men had been located recently by a Peruvian radio station.
Cool.
So where the story goes from there, hopefully Cryptomundo will do a follow-up. But I also wanted to mention a site called Forget-O-Mori, which we've referenced on the show a couple of times. And Kentaro Mori is the author of the blog. Posted a giant, what was it? Hayabo? Beings of Light will take us to it. There we go.
Is it this article or a different article?
It's a different article. Beings of Light is awfully good, though.
The Beings of Light article is just a brief synopsis of different journalists, as a matter of fact, noticing the proliferation of photos on the web and in publications describing strange tricks of light. Folks who are into the Maitreya share of Buddhism and Share International and the Theosophical stuff these days, those publications have been trafficking in these photos for a long time. particularly these with the X's, as evidence, because supposedly in these cases there's no discernible origin. That people have looked at it, they're like, oh, there's no explanation for these, they're of course saying it's signs from the ascended masters who are helping us go to the next level on this planet.
It's reflection from a mirrored building across the street.
According to these sources, they're saying that that's not the case, and I've never seen an actual analysis that could demonstrate this without me having to go, okay, I trust them. Anyway,
I roll to disbelieve, Miles.
Well, good. But so, what was the
natural 20?
The
what
article.
Can I say?
Go back
to the homepage.
That's what I'm trying. He doesn't have a home link.
Yeah, it's the banner. Scroll down a bit.
That's the sound of scrolling, folks.
One more. There it is.
Holy mackerel, is that a big-ass snake?
Giant jiboia snake in Brazil. Reader José Paulo Grandel from Pará, Brazil, found and kindly sent us, thank you, the scan of the photograph of a seemingly enormous Brazilian snake. The scan is from a copy, and the embedded description on it reads something like, "This is a jiboia snake, of which only a part appears. It has approximately 48 meters and was found on the Hari or Jari Lake, Pará State, where some people say there are no big snakes. On 10th November 1949. And it's a postcard-like photograph. You have essentially this arc of snake in the near foreground. It looks like it's perhaps 6 feet away from the camera. And if the measurements in there are accurate, the animal is about 160 feet long, which I just have a little trouble crediting. It is a very big snake.
There's an explanation and update from herpetologist
Chad Arment from StrangeArc.com kindly informed us that the, quote, snake photo was originally published per Newton's Encyclopedia of Cryptozoology, April 28, 1949, in the newspaper A Provincia do Pará, credit to Joaquin Alencar. The snake was alleged 45 meters and was found on the Rio Abuna. Acre State. There's been a fair bit of confusion over the details over the years, and different lengths have been reported along with the same photo at different times. The locality details printed on the photo sent to you appear to be another variant. As to the size of the animal, quote, there is unfortunately no way to determine the length of the snake from the photo itself, end quote, Armand explains, and I don't see any visual clues supporting an extraordinary length in the anaconda. As Craig York also noticed, the snake could also be very close to the camera, and its apparent size would be just a perspective trick. Its actual size could be big, but not extraordinary.
Well, on the subject of snakes, I want to say I am pleased as punch to now officially, yet again, be a non-subscriber to the Saucer Smear newsletter by Woo-hoo! James Mosley. For those that don't know the pleasure of getting an issue of Saucer Smear in the mail, you should send your love offering to Supreme Commander James Mosley, Mosley, to the P.O. Box 1709, Key West, Florida, 33041. That's Saucer Smear at P.O. Box 1709, Key West, Florida, 33041. Now, I've reestablished contact with the Supreme Commander, and I'm hoping to have him on the show very, very soon. On recent previous shows, Craig's talked about having completed Mr. Mosley's fantastic
memoir.
What is it called?
Shockingly close to the truth. Yes. Dun, 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 dun.
And in this current volume, 55, number 4, April 20th, 2008, hole number 410 edition of Saucer Smear, dedicated to the highest principles in ufological journalism, he talks about Interview with a Snake. This is the title of a short article in the March 2008 issue of Fate magazine, an offbeat periodical that has been grinding along for almost 60 years. However, in all that time, we have never read anything quite like this. It seems that editor and publisher Phyllis Gould has recently adopted a 5-foot red-tailed boa constrictor that had somehow been abandoned in an apartment for a month without food or water.
Oh, those are pretty snakes, too.
The interview with this snake was done by an animal communicator named Kathy Malkin Curia, who apparently earns a living for this sort of thing. Although it is mentioned that snakes have a brain, quote, the size of a grain of sand, unquote, this sounds even worse than reality. This particular boa speaks very intelligently in the interview. The snake is female. Her main thrust is that humans should be more tolerant of snakes, respect their intelligence and their need for freedom, etc. Says the unnamed snake, I feel that I am extremely intelligent and capable of taking care of my needs, which has nothing to do with brain size. Before you start worrying about the brain size of Fate subscribers, let us reassure you that the other articles in this issue are at least somewhat more plausible than this one. Though most of the articles are about ghosts these days, in the past, Fate has published material by world-renowned Fortean researchers such as James W. Mosley and many others. Famed author Brad Steiger continues to write for them. If you have subscription questions, call 1-800-728-2730. That's Fate subscription information at 800-728-2730. And again, Saucer Smear at P.O. Box 1709, Key West, Florida 33041. James Mosley, my friends, soon to be on the show, I very, very hope. Other great updates on Saucer Smear is it's sort of, depending upon how you want to define this parameter, but it's the longest running publication out there of its nature devoted specifically to the UFOs, or even previously flying saucers. And I am excited to note that, let's see, this is from James Mosley again. We remind our readers that Chris Roth is our designated successor at such time as we can no longer write or mail out Smear. Your editor is 76 years old. We believe that Chris will skillfully preserve the flavor and format of our humble zine. For the past few years, we have had Vince Ditchkus as a contributing editor, and we are very grateful indeed for his efforts in our behalf. So, about this Chris Roth fellow, I'm excited to learn that, quote, I am a social cultural anthropologist by training, with specialization also in folklore and linguistics. I received my PhD from the University of Chicago in 2000 with a focus on Native Americans of Northern Canada. My interest in UFOs and related topics is longstanding. I have taught at many different colleges and universities and currently am based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I am neither an experiencer nor a hoaxer, and am neither a true believer nor a debunker, though I am a skeptic, as incidentally are many experiencers. I prefer to look at the UFO phenomena through the lens of human culture, since that is the lens through which it comes to us, in the form of reports, narratives, rumors, and beliefs. That is one way to get at the truth, whatever it is.
And nifty toys and models.
So, I can't think of, I mean, I don't have yet to see this fellow's writing or hear his real perspective on things. But if James Mosley thinks he's good enough to carry on, and if with those kind of background credentials, I think
quite agree.
The highest principles of ufological journalism have been ensured.
It's got Plod on the cover.
That's
easily one of the best selling Weekly World News covers. There's a little clip from the famous Weekly World News cover of the alien Pilad shaking hands with George W. Bush shortly before the election in 2000.
Thank goodness.
Pilad was right every single time, man.
Here's some recent cryptozoological news.
For the past few months, we have been talking about a Midlands monster, the one, the only...
The Lizard Man.
The Lizard Man.
That is right. WIS News 10 joined the search for the Lee County legend. What Dan Torjman found may surprise you, or may not. Tonight he has a look at the Lizard Man legacy.
They've come looking for a legend.
We just hope to find proof that it exists.
On a windy day in Lee County, the search is on for Lizard Man.
The best case would be to get some photographs.
Here to catch a glimpse of the mythical green giant, the Foundation for Paranormal Research. FPR specializes in UFOs, monsters, and ghosts.
We've seen some
WIS along for the hunt, trying to once and for all solve the Lizard Man mystery. Scattered sightings have haunted these parts for nearly two decades.
It gives you a very uneasy feeling.
Most recently, some neighbors believe Lizard Man actually attacked this van, chewing up metal, leaving behind blood.
A bite pair here, rotate bite pair here. The mouth's not going to be that wide.
It appears whatever attacked was hungry for cats underneath the hood. The cats haven't been seen since.
If it dug into here and tried to raise it up like that, that jagged edges that it's tearing apart right here, tearing off right here, it's going to dig into its mouth, into the gums. And yeah, you're going to get blood.
That's a 40 caliber copper jacket over a Teflon shell.
FPR packs protection, then heads to nearby Scape or Swamp. It was here in 1988 that the Lizard Man legend began.
This is where supposedly the sightings were, here, these four places.
The first ever Lizard Man sighting on the bridge overhead. When an area teenager blew a tire, he said he got out and then heard a noise. When he turned around, the teen said he saw it, a 7-foot monster with green scaly skin, red eyes, three fingers, and three toes.
He had crossed the bridge heading in this direction when the original flat happened.
FPR takes photographs, then a peek under the bridge into Scape or Swamp.
What I was looking for was to see if there was any indication of anything across there, but that's wildlife. No, nothing.
There are no unusual footprints near the swamp, so FPR looks for other clues and finds one on a tree.
He actually saw some look like claw marks back over there. And have no idea what it was, but I've never seen anything like that before.
The most ominous find in the grass on the edge of the road.
I got a skull or something. I don't think this is what ate the car up, though.
Before sunset, neighbors come up and share their Lizard Man stories. One man tells us Lizard Man was nothing more than an elaborate costume. He says an area farmer used it to scare off kids who'd been stealing from his butterbean shed.
Next thing you know, you had a colonel on the news. You seen Lizard Man jumping I-20 with a cow under his arm.
The infrared imaging, the night vision.
But after hours of waiting, searching, and hoping for answers, FPR calls it a day.
Logic, you know, would would say, you know, oh, it's, you know, it's just a myth.
As far as Lizard Man, I don't know. It's got to continue. The search will go on. I have no doubt that people will keep interested in this subject.
So, real or not, Lizard Man seems destined to survive the test of time, the ultimate test of a legend. In Lee County, Dan Torjman, WIS News 10.
And the mystery goes on.
It does. And we'll take a short break here, a little commercial.
No commercial.
Yeah. Well, okay, maybe.
It's a giant armadillo.
Bite rotation? The guy sounds like, you know, he knows a little of his wood lore. But I have to admit, the farmer dressing up in an elaborate costume to scare the kids away from his butterbean shack. What kind of teenage ritual involves stealing butterbeans?
Something in Lee County, apparently.
That's, well, anyway. Yeah, definitely be kind of cool. This is one of those, I think Lauren Coleman has done some stories about Lizard Man and the Loveland Frogman, which is kind of a corollary swamp creature, although a little bit smaller, I think. But anyway, the whole creature from the Black Lagoon
That's
vibe.
What the pictures, you know, really look like.
And, you know, it's one of those scare the crap out of me if I ran into something like it, but it's still kind of a cool idea.
Yeah.
You know. Other than that, I don't know.
That was from WISTV.com, and that's Lee County South Carolina? I don't know. It's W-I-S. It makes me think Wisconsin, but yeah, not sure. W-I-S TV.
Well, W is radio, isn't it? Is that that's a TV?
Oh, it's
station?
Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dude.
WIS goes in search of the lizard man is the name of the article.
Hmm. And I have to say, not a whole lot of the ridicule factor employed, which was kind of neat. I found the local research group a little hard to credit, but you know, I'm very much in the ghost hunters mode of, you know, go out for a day trip, stand at the edge of a potentially vast potential range, and you know that's not much of an investigation. Sorry. Especially, you know, well, I suppose this was the site or close to the site of the supposed attack or the latest sighting. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, they didn't give any specifics like that.
I'm sure there's some stuff out there on the background of it, and this is fairly recent, fairly topical. But what else have we got at the Anomalist?
Where you should get all your latest anomaly news.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of stuff, man. There's this alien abduction CCTV video.
Ooh, that actually sounds kind of interesting.
Of course, and there's coverage of the Retro UFO Convention conference out in Landers, California, near Giant Rock at the Integratron that so many of our friends are speaking at. That got some coverage.
Sorry, my eye was just completely drawn to this Reno on edge after strange series of quakes, report from the Los Angeles Times. An unusually intense series of an intense swarm of earthquakes, more than 1,000 over the last 2 months, has struck a small suburb of Reno. More than 20 quakes of magnitude 2 or higher have hit here, and the intensity and frequency of the quakes have been increasing rather than following the normal pattern of trailing off. Researchers have named this unusual series of events which have defied patterns and predictions the Mogul Sequence. the cryptozoology connection, Bigfoot Motel shaken.
That's over at CryptoMundo.com. But I'm really curious, what the heck?
Oh, wow.
There's a shot from the LA Times article of, you know, shopping center totally disheveled. Where's this Mogul effect? Because, of course, the Mogul balloon.
Uh-huh. The Mogul Sequence is especially shallow and is growing over time, defying patterns and predictions. So here you have a geological anomaly in process.
And I want to know what the heck this Mogul... Oops. Eh.
Miles is looking stuff up, folks. Near Mogul, Nevada. It's the name of the place.
Okay. Oh, and okay, so the Mogul... I didn't realize that. The Roswell Mogul balloon explanation. I thought Mogul was maybe some scientific term having to do with the propagation of electromagnetic waves through the upper atmosphere, because the Mogul balloon project that's been trotted out as the explanation for the Roswell crash...
of July 1947.
...is... That one version is that it was misidentified components of a Mogul balloon, which was basically a high-altitude electromagnetic field sensor, EMP sensor, that was trying to detect whether or not the Soviets were detonating nuclear weapons over the horizon. And I guess it was probably called Project Mogul because that's maybe where it was headquartered. I don't know enough about my debunking... theories of Roswell, like I should. And Mosley's co-author.
I think it might have been just a name that people liked at the time.
Mogul.
Yeah, it's like a...
Baron.
Yeah.
That and Mogulus.com.
Mogulus?
Mogulus.com/anomaly news.
Woot.
You heard it here first, folks.
Okay, well, anyway, it's it sounds pretty trippy. Yeah, 1,000 quakes in 2 months.
And they're getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's like the plot of a great science fiction movie of the summer.
Something's coming up.
Well, here is, I believe, some fairly recent coverage of the Retro UFO Conference number 3, I believe.
This is KMIR 6 News at 11.
Well, some say flying saucers are a hoax. Others say proof there's life on other planets is right here in the desert. KMIR 6 reporter Tina Patel takes a look at UFOs, fact or science fiction.
Last week, dozens of people in the Phoenix area reported seeing strange lights in the sky. A few days later, the unidentified flying object was identified. An Arizona man admitted to tying flares to helium balloons and letting them loose from his backyard. This sighting may have turned out to be a hoax, but there are plenty of other people who say they have witnessed something not of this world.
Yes. Yeah. I've had experiences out here I cannot explain.
Here is Landers, a city in the high desert that is home to two mysterious places. Giant Rock, which is said to be the largest freestanding boulder in the world. It was here that in the 1950s, an aerospace engineer named George Van Tassel supposedly encountered a being from Venus, a being that told him to build this structure just a few miles away, the Integratron, a circular dome that some say has healing powers.
Today it's easy. We have all our little gadgets, we have all our little tools, and we can know where, you know, the magnetics go and all the ley lines and everything. And George kind of instinctively or intuitively or was told, so we say, from the space people, this is where he should build it.
This weekend, the Integratron was the site for the third annual Retro UFO Convention. It drew about 100 believers from around the country.
They have very good speakers that come out here, and there's a freedom to discuss things that you can't discuss in a lot of other places.
The convention had a lighthearted tone. One of the events was an aluminum foil hat-making contest.
Because the humor is creativity. The joy is the creativity.
But the reason these believers came together is no joke. Many of them say they have made contact with extraterrestrials. Bob Short says the first time for him was through a ham radio.
Voice communication, sometimes we would get numeral code, but mostly voice communications. They told us about the coming of the Grays, told us about that was coming on, told us about the coming of the particle belt that we were going to be passing through together with the Pleiades.
In the 1950s and 60s, Short came to Giant Rock to meet with Van Tassel and other contactees. He told us the reason aliens chose to communicate with them.
We were willing to listen to them, willing to be open to listen to what they had to say, rather than being closed off.
And the message he says he got?
To take care of Mother Earth, stop the aggressive attitudes. Keep the mind open, don't close it.
Barbara Harris is trying to keep an open mind. That's why she booked Short to be one of the speakers during this year's convention. She admits there are some questions in the stories she hears.
One of the things I found out from doing this for the third year is some of the original contactees, they're kind of gotten up in years. I think that over the years, their stories also have gotten bigger.
But Harris believes there is some truth to the stories. After all, she has stories of her own.
And there were these lights and figures all over the place, and 30 people were here, saw stuff in the sky.
So could Landers be the site of not only future UFO conventions, but future UFO sightings?
We think something happened out here. Something does go on out here. And the only thing we could tell people is come out and see it for yourself.
In Landers, Tina Patel, KMIR 6 News.
Oh.
Okay.
Award for the best soundtrack in a news report yet.
I really liked the music on the second half, but that was the first thing I wrote down. Background sound effects. That creepy sound at the beginning that they used over and over for the first half. That was cutting-edge digital sound effects that we used, my friends and I, God bless, on the video project that I funded right after high school. It was 90-91, and it was cutting-edge, state-of-the-art then, or at least it was more expensive than we could afford, but thankfully we got it on the sly. And I hear the sound effects from that the discs that we had access to all the time in current movie trailers, current movies, current television. It's just so, it's like, wow, all these years have passed and they're using the same old crap. And I love that sound effect though in the background. That we but we used it, like I said, back in 92 at the latest. More interestingly, this is really weird. I'm going to have to rewatch that. One of the photographs they show of Giant Rock is a black and white photograph. I'm almost positive, just from this first watching, as the first time I've seen this video clip, that it's from a version of the photograph on my website where I introduced an artifact in the picture, not an intended watermark, but that's the effect, such that when they've just showed that video, that image, I'm pretty sure they must have pulled that from my website because it's the only place that that version of that picture with that anomaly in the image would appear.
Huh.
Just weird. Coinkydink there. Was going to talk about the tinfoil crown of the guy, but then they went ahead and focused on the tinfoil hat making contest, which I knew they were going to do, but I had forgotten. And Reverend Bob Short, they didn't mention the fact that he's the Reverend of the Blue Rose Ministry. Which I only found out about thanks to my good friend Adam Gorightly, who is one of the speakers and coordinators for this year's conference. But what I wanted to also say, more importantly, was where the hell are all my friends, man? Is that if that was this year's, it says it was added April 29th, 2008. So I'm guessing that
this year's Retro 3.
But it's like they didn't they notice they didn't ever mention any of the speakers except for Bob Short.
Yeah. It's
And I guess that would probably be because, as you can guess, folks, if you're familiar with this radio network, Anomaly Radio, a lot of our friends and show hosts are as open-minded as we are and don't necessarily believe that the UFO is any one thing, and so they wouldn't have fit into a piece like that.
Yeah, our recent guest, Paul Kimball, is down there, as is our regular guest, Nick Redford. And I believe Greg Bishop, who also blogs at UFO Mystic, is there as well.
And Ken Thomas of Steam Shovel Press, whom I've had on Blue Rose Report before, and is a great parapolitical researcher. I wanted to be there.
Next year in Jerusalem, Miles.
Okay. Why? What does that mean?
I have no...
Is that when I'll get my new biblical name Koresh did?
No.
Cult?
I have a vague notion. It's what the Zionists used to say for years before the reestablishment of Israel.
Ah.
Yeah. But anyway, it's sort of a, it'll come true someday. Holy shit.
Man, the prophecies are coming true by the shitload.
So, anyway, what is this alien abduction caught live on a security camera? Looks awfully fishy, but provides the hook into looking at security camera videos.
It speaks for itself, but of course it's video, so you won't see it. But here, it's hosted by Make It So Number One.
Coming up next, has an actual alien abduction been captured on tape?
It does appear to be an authentic video.
Some believe the security camera footage reveals the shocking disappearance. And then 2 hours later, the reappearance of an unidentified abduction victim. What really happened? Our experts take you inside by experience.
Our journey across the paranormal borderline is nearly over. But before we go, we'd like to present this story.
We recently received an anonymous letter in the mail. We receive many letters like this, but this one provided enough information to warrant further study. It told the story of a worker who appeared to have been abducted by aliens. The letter was accompanied by a tape which allegedly shows the abduction. Here is the tape. There are four black and white pictures. In the top right quadrant, a worker walks right to left through a gate. He disappears here in a flash of light at 11:16 p.m. The tape continued to run normally until almost 2 hours later. Then the victim reappears in a second flash of light, now in a fetal position. Then moments later, now crouching, he vomits, and seconds later, staggers right to left, out of frame. According to the author of the letter, The footage was copied from a surveillance system. He reports that soon after the incident, the victim abruptly quit his job and moved away. The letter writer claims that the tape is valuable and expects to be paid for it. We provided it to some experts for their analysis. Yvonne Smith is a well-known hypnotherapist and UFO researcher. She chairs a support group that counsels abductees. The stories her patients tell bear a striking similarity to the incident on the tape, particularly the victim's disorientation.
I work with many people that, and it was 11:15, and then I remember it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm sick to my stomach.
What happens during the missing time? Abductees claim they've been rendered immobile, transported to a craft, confronted by alien creatures, and taken to an operating room where the real terror begins.
Sperm is taken, ova is taken. I mean, there's a variety of experiments or examinations that take place during the course of an abduction.
He's seen enough, folks. Sorry. Actually, Yvonne Smith, as nice as she is, I think I've met her, but not the most scientific.
After reading The Abduction Enigma by Kevin Randall
and William Cohn and the other guy Estes, Estes.
William Estes.
I don't know.
William Estes, I believe. Is at home, unfortunately. But after reading that, I really can't listen to, social worker and hypnotist without cringing. You know, it's just kind of like,
And sorry about the audio interruption there, folks. But, yeah. Basically, the interesting thing about this video is that it's hosted by number one.
Jonathan Frakes. Will Riker of TV's Star Trek The Next Generation.
But the video is it could be a very easily done hoax. I could see a couple of guys, working at a place saying, "Hey man, I got this whole thing scripted. I'll throw the power and you can do this flash bulb off camera over here and then you'll come back on later and make it look like you're throwing up." And
But it's
convincing. The video is convincing that something weird seems to have happened. It could be anything. He could have been abducted by CIA agents, drugged, and dropped back off. Though, why the flash and why? Well, flash grenade and mind control.
Yes, Miles.
Yeah, so obviously, yeah, you can find out more about that at Phantoms. I found this through the link at Phantoms and Monsters website, which is phantomsandmonsters.com. Video was.
Yeah.
Was this an actual alien abduction? Only Yvonne Smith knows for sure.
Well,
no offense, Yvonne.
It's a neat little film, but without provenance, it's just something on camera. Well, that's about our show for tonight, eh?
Eh? Well, in that case, let's go out with a bang and say that we'll reschedule Ken at his earliest convenience and our earliest convenience, of course.
Yeah. We will probably not be on the air next week, but look for us in early May. This is Craig York.
And I'm Smiles Lewis, and you've been listening to Precognitive Dissonance live via Anomaly Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Cool.
Anomaly Radio Network.